Hope all of y'all are doing phenomenal in God's presence this morning. If you would you turn with me to Daniel chapter 2, verse 17. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and let Lynn know. Lynn, I will be stepping out from behind the pulpit here, so you can follow me. I want to keep my cameraman happy because he's got to get my good side. But I want to step down here for a minute. Can we do something fun together, church? Let's do something fun together. All of us as kids have played Simon Says, right? Simon Says, touch your head. Simon Says, wiggle your toes. Simon Says, rub your tummy. All right, I'll stop. But the reason I wanted to do that this morning is because I don't know if you're aware of this. I don't know if you even thought of this. You make thousands of decisions every day, if not millions of decisions every single day. Every time you wiggle your finger, every time you touch your tummy, touch your head, whatever you do throughout the day, they may be small decisions, but they're decisions that each one of us make every single day. Now, I told you to make that decision, but did you have to do it? Mm-mm. You had free will to not make that decision just because I said so. My point being, as God tells you today what He wants to do in your life, He's given you free will to make that decision of what you're going to do. And either you're going to listen to that decision or you're going to do what you want. So as God speaks to us this morning and He tells us what to do, as Simon says, whatever He tells us to do, let's listen to God today. Let's not make that decision on our own. But if you will, Daniel chapter 2, verse 27, would you stand with me in honor of God's word today? Verse 17, we're going to be reading through verse 24. It says, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will shew unto the king the interpretation." Go to the Lord in prayer. Most holy God, as we bow before you on this day, God, we thank you for the free will that you bestowed upon our life. But God, we also thank you for your spirit that comes in and tells us what it is that we should do and how we should follow you. God, in these times as we live in today, would you give us wisdom and discernment? Would you give us knowledge? God, we're praying today that your presence would come into our life, that it would consume our life, God, and we would look only unto the things that you would call us unto and not unto the things which we would have for us to do. God, put our focus on you. We say these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture today, we could have sat and we could have read the whole chapter and I would have happily done that, but y'all would have got tired of me pretty quick. But what I would rather say about this scripture is there's lots of things we could talk about. But Daniel was given the interpretation to the king as the king was troubled. He'd had this dream. And we could get into a lot of talk, but what I want to talk about is how Daniel spoke to God. He praised God for giving him this interpretation of the king's dream. Now, I will promise you we'll get back to that. But the most important reminder today, as we near the election, just a couple short days. I know many of us have already voted, but as God's children, we are okay either way. God should not give us a spirit of fear. Instead, He should give us a spirit of peace Isaiah 14, 24 says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. What God decides in the end will stand." But he stands at the backside of this election looking out, knowing what's going to take place, looking at his children. But that does not leave us without choice today. So I want to talk about that. What are our choices? Our choice in who we vote for and how we vote is very important. God called us to vote. God called us to get out of our seats and to be a part of our nation. God called us to be wise. Verse 21 that we read said, "He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth the kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." In Daniel's words of praise unto God, he says clearly, "God, you're setting the kings." But friends, he has a complete and sovereign oversight of what's already going to take place. The things that we cannot see, he already sees. There is no winner that's going to catch our God by surprise on Tuesday evening. However, even in this sovereignty, it is important that we do not fall trapped to believing that we do not have choices, just like I talked to you today. God can tell us what to do all day, but it doesn't mean we're going to listen. We have choices. Even the sovereignty of God's, he may know, but we also need to know to follow him. And friends, before you ever get into any polling booth, before you ever go cast any ballot, if you've not already, you better get in your prayer closet first. And you better begin to pray and see what God would have for your life. So, after Daniel says, God gives wisdom to the wise, does that not sound kind of obvious? Well, they're already wise. We have some teachers in here. We have a math teacher in here. You wouldn't teach pre-algebra to someone who had never had any math before. You wouldn't teach algebra 2 to someone who never had algebra 1. Why? Because it builds on itself. So the common sense for us to believe is that wisdom is going to grow. But that's not always the case. The real truth here is this. The wise are those that choose the things of God first. So they look unto God and they see what he desires of them in their life. And as God's word teaches us here, that for those there will be knowledge, there will be wisdom, not because they're not knowledgeable and wise to start with, but because they look unto God. Because they see what he desires of them. Perhaps you're at a crossroads here at this election. And friends, perhaps you're making some excuses. We're all guilty of excuses. But a Christian who walks closely with God not only knows how important this election is, they know how important their one vote is. Friends, today, if you are one of these with a million excuses, it's time to stop making those excuses. It's time to get with God. It's time to get in our prayer closets. It's time to get in his holy word and stop making excuses. It's time to let him reveal to us those things that are darkness. Verse 22 said, "He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." Friends, we worry so much about trying to discover what God already knows. How can we take and look at two candidates and decide light from darkness without God among it? See, we're trying to discover what he already knows. The scripture teaches us in verse 22 that he knows the darkness. He sees the darkness. He knows the darkness in Kamala Harris, the darkness in Donald Trump, and yes, the darkness in each of us. So instead of trying to discover something all fresh new for yourself, perhaps we need to get in our prayer closets and ask God to reveal to us that darkness. Really, this is a 2-for-1, and you can thank me later. But, one, we need to get out, we need to vote for what God would have us to vote for. And two, we need to seek those things of the kingdom of God first, so that God can speak to us. Because if we are not allowing God to speak to us, we really have no right to even make a decision. Friends, we cannot be walking with God wholly and truly while also voting on ungodly agendas that affect our family far beyond us. We cannot stand for Christ and also stand for baby killers, LGBTQ supporters, or critical race theory pushers. Why? Because it's clearly against God's Word. And as you look at these two agendas, it is clear in God's Word who needs the vote of the Christian. But friends, we'll leave that to God's revelation for you today. Whatever He may reveal to you, let Him work in your life. But don't make the decision, don't make your choice without Him. Because friends, there's consequences to our actions. You see, consequences befall our actions. It befalls our grandkids, our kids, and many generations to come. We'll reap whatever takes place on Tuesday. So very simply, if we vote worldly, we will get the world's reward. If we vote godly, we will receive God's reward. Proverbs 21:1-3 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Even those who are going to vote for an ungodly agenda, in their hearts, do you think they're wrong? Not in their hearts. They think they're right. They believe wholeheartedly that they're doing what God would have them to do, or at least what the world would have them to do by their standards. But they don't see wrong in what they're doing. They think it's the right thing to do. But see, that is the difference between what God says and what man says. Friends, we need to take our hearts, our agendas, our minds out of the equation. And we need to plug God into it. Why? Because this week, the fate of our nation for the sake of generations to come is at stake. And regardless of the winner, as children of God, we better be in tune with Him. Brothers and sisters, if you are so focused on your opinion that you fall prey to any of these following, you may want to pray about what God would have you to do instead. If you fall prey to A, voting for a candidate because of a D or an R next to their name. If you vote for a candidate B based off their gender. If you vote for a candidate C based on your emotions. Perhaps we should get out of our own way. Perhaps we should quit deciding for ourselves and allow God to decide for us what He would have us to do. And then follow that call. Too many times, we sit down and just like we started this service with today, God says, "Brandon, do that. Scott, do that. Larry Haas, do that. Whoever, plug your name into it." And we say, "But God, I don't want to do that." And we do what we want to do instead. Let's do what God would have us to do today. Now, I want us to do something else a little fun today. I don't know. I think it's fun. Let's close our eyes. Can we all close our eyes? Now think of a time when God saw you through a dark time in your life. We all have those dark moments. What comes to your mind first? A dark time that God saw you through. When you were on the front side of that, did you think God would see you through the way He has? Think about His provision today. Think about the ways He saw you through. I guarantee you this, because the Word of God says this, whatever that dark time was that He saw you through, He used it for good. You can open your eyes. God has more foresight and knowledge in His pinky than this whole room has combined. He understands the things that we don't understand. He sees the things that we don't see. And my guess is that whatever situation you thought of in your life that God saw you through, when you look back and you think about that situation, you think, man, He brought me through a way I didn't expect Him to. He did something I wasn't even dreaming He would do. But brothers and sisters, if we would just forget our own ways and see His ways first, what beauty may would befall this nation. Unfortunately, many are going to make decisions, including their vote, with their heart and with their mind and with their emotions. And they're not going to let God into those things. They're just going to do it based off of the world, what they're feeling, not with the Spirit of God. And friends, there's consequences for those actions. But what will you choose? So our role this week is really very simple. We need to have a clear understanding of God's Word. We need to have a clear understanding in prayer of what God would have us to do. And we need to, very simply put, do what He says. That's all. Follow what His Word says. Follow what His prayer says to you. And then we're going to have God's decision. All we can do is what we can do. Now each of us have one vote. And what we do with that vote is ultimately up to us. Nothing that I say or Pastor Don says or anyone else says is going to determine what you do with your vote. That's your decision. Praise the Lord for a free country that gives you that decision. But we all have that one vote, and it's very important. And we may look at it as insignificant. In fact, there was a time in my life, Katie could tell you, that I went to Katie and said, "What's the point in me voting? It's just one vote." That was very early on in our marriage. Katie quickly corrected me on that. And since I've learned to understand, come to understand, that one vote is very, very important. Now, I told you I'd get back to what I was speaking on Daniel early and how Daniel praised God for the interpretation. Here's what we clearly see Daniel told God in praise. We see that he told God these things. He said, "You set the rulers and you tear them down. You bring knowledge and you bring wisdom. You change the times and you change the seasons. Delight dwells in you. What God decides to do as a ruler and author of this world, friends, is up to Him. But what we decide to do has consequences. And today we have to decide what God wants from us and how we are going to follow that call on our lives. This is not a war on politics. This is the opportunity our nation has to turn the tide. Each of you will have your opinions on this election. Each of you may even have your opinions on this sermon, and that's okay. But if you do one thing today, let's open our heart to God. Let's allow Him to speak to us. Don't make a decision based off what somebody else says or even what you say. Make a decision based off what the Holy God says to you. But what we see is Daniel could have never interpreted the dream if he'd have never had the revelation from God. What authority did Daniel have? Really none. The authority Daniel had was in Christ. Without God in Daniel's life, Daniel had no authority to interpret the king's dream. But when God came into Daniel's life, Daniel could interpret it. We have no right to interpret really anything, political candidate or beyond, without God in our life. Let Him give you the authority today. But why did Daniel have God? Time and time again, he was placed in the crosshairs. He was put in situations that were hard. And he had to stand strong. Go read the book of Daniel. I challenge you to do that. Because when you read the book of Daniel, what you're going to find is if you believe that God should not be involved in politics, you're going to be quickly corrected. Because the whole book of Daniel is Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and more, standing strong in the face of kings, standing strong in the face of opposition. Half or more of the book is just stories of them standing up for godly values. But what are you going to stand up for today? Is it going to be the Word of God? Or is it going to be your own heart and your own emotions, your own truth? You and I need to get you and I out of the vocabulary. And we need to put God there. We have one vote. And we can do with that one vote whatever we choose. I'm not telling you how to vote. That's your choice. The only thing I'm asking you to do is when you get home, if you've not voted yet, or even if you have, go get in your prayer closet if you've got one. Go get in the Word of God. Let God show you what He would have for your life. Be that a vote or anything else. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Stand near to Him. Because if we don't stand with Him, how are we ever going to make godly decisions in our life? We're not.
we're going to make decisions that the world would have us to make because we're standing in the flesh. Church, that's a dangerous place to be. Standing in the flesh and making our own mind up without letting God have any authority on our life. But ultimately, when it all comes down to it, whatever happens this week, if we're God's children, we have this peace. And I want to read this verse to you before we close here. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." At the end of the day, the reality is this. This world is a very temporary home for us. And whatever happens this week, I'm just going to say it. It'll be okay. Because God's the author of this world, not us. Praise the Lord. So let's let God do the ruling. Let's let God lead our lives. And today, if you've not let God lead your life, be it in this election or be it in something else, maybe you've not come to know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Today is the day to let God into your heart, to come before Him, to ask that He would forgive you of the many sins in your life. Perhaps today God is calling you to something else. Perhaps it's baptism. Perhaps it's church membership. Perhaps it's just God telling you, you need to get off your hiney and get in the prayer closet and get with me. But whatever it is today, would you come today and would you leave it for God? If Brother Marty comes, would you stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? God, as we call upon you once again, God, we praise you today that you have been so good even in the darkest of times. But God, today, your people need to be your people. God, it's time that we stand strong as Daniel did. So God, would you give us the courage? Would you give us the boldness? But God, most of all, would you give us the want to get with you? Father, to grow with you and walk with you and talk with you. God, to get to know you. God, we really have no authority outside of that. God, give us the wisdom, give us the knowledge to make the right decision this week. Don't let us put our own emotions and our own heart in front of us. Put you first. And God, if there's one here who doesn't know you, if there's one here who needs to come and know you today, I pray that they would come. Father, whatever the need is, would they come today? We say these things in your name.